Today's date is April 8th, 2021. So, Eve, would you give us your full name, please?
Eve Irja Johnson O'Neill.
Johnson, are you Scandinavian, Norwegian, or Swedish?
Swedish, and throw in on my, that was on my mother's side, the Fredricksons. The Johnsons are German and English, and there's a little bit of French in there, too.
Oh, okay. And I am recording this from my office and studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And where are you as we record this?
I am in Oxnard, California, which is in Ventura County, about 20 miles north of Malibu on the coast.
So I recently discovered a book titled Voices on the Wind, Early Radio in Oklahoma by Gene Allen. And on page 96, there's a photo of Jimmy O'Neill. And it's at a KGWA live broadcast of the 1958 home show in Enid's Convention Hall. And the caption says that the DJ, Jimmy O'Neill, a high school student at the time, went on to work at WKY in Oklahoma City and stations in Pittsburgh and Los Angeles before becoming the MC of TV's Shindig. Well, it turns out he was born and raised in Enid. And I worked with him in Omaha, Nebraska, and while I may have known he came from Oklahoma, I really hadn't pursued that fact until I read this book. Now, Jimmy died January 11, 2013, and he was 73. So, Eve, you and I are going to tell the story of a very talented radio personality and how he got his start in his hometown of Enid. So, Eve, as they say, in the interest of full disclosure, Jimmy is your former husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with Jimmy in Omaha for several years. I was in Omaha from 70-71 until 1976. So somewhere in there, Jimmy came to Omaha, and I worked with him at WOW and KOIL. He was a colleague, but also became a friend. And so with that aside, it will give some insights that perhaps others may not have. But a bit about you. Where were you born?
I was born in New York.
You were born in New York, and then you grew up in New York?
Actually, I grew up on Long Island, about 50, 60 miles from Manhattan. And it was on the South Shore of Manhattan, very bucolic, lovely area, very flat, lots of farms.
And your parents, who were they?
My father was a film producer who was working for General Motors in public relations, and he would film training films and documentaries on behalf of General Motors. And my mother had been a model and an actress who retired and raised my brother and me.
All right. And their names, your mother and father's names?
My father was Merle, Frederick Merle Johnson. And my mother was Edith Dorothy Fredrickson Johnson.
All right. And then how many siblings did you have?
One sibling, my brother Boy, who later became Troy.
And your brother's name was Merle?
Yes, it was Merle. But nobody ever called him Merle. We all called him Boy because he was entranced with the Tarzan son named Boy.
Oh.
So we went from Boy to Troy. It was very easy.
His name then was Merle Johnson. So we haven't said Troy's name. What was his stage name?
Troy Donahue.
And so we're going to hear names during this interview that we could go down those paths a long way, but we don't have time to do that. But tell us a little bit about your brother, Troy. What did he do? Who was he?
Okay, well, my brother was 9 years older than I was. So he was always the most popular boy in school when it came to the girls. And we lived in a small county. High school and elementary were all in one building. And girls used to come and find me at lunchtime, and they would feed me candy and all kinds of chips and things to get me to talk about my brother. They would ask me questions. Who did your brother talk to on the phone last night? You know, who is he dating? Who is he interested? Who does he talk about? And I remember one day looking at a magazine that was unlike any magazine I had ever seen in our house before, which was mostly Town and Country and New Yorker magazines like that. Well, this was an early copy of a movie magazine, and they had Marilyn Monroe in it. And somebody explained to me that these were movie stars who were adored by lots of people and were in movies. And so I looked at my brother and I said, "You're going to be a movie star someday." Hmm. And everyone laughed, and that was it.
Right.
I guess I'm a little prophetic.
Yes, very, very prophetic. And then we'll jump ahead, because there's so much we could talk about Troy. But one evening, I understand he was spotted at a diner in Malibu by a producer and director, and arranged for a screen test. And it was and it was unsuccessful at that time. But
well, the reason it was unsuccessful was the day of the screen test. The night before, he was coming back from the bar with a friend, and he drove his little red MG Classic off a cliff on the Malibu Country Road, Malibu Canyon Road. And they had to pull him out and take him to the hospital. And so he missed his screen test, but he was okay. He recovered from that.
Hmm. So then we jump way ahead, and he got his big break when he was cast opposite Sandra Dee in A Summer Place. And then he was in the Western TV series such as Colt 45, Maverick, Sugarfoot. And he was going to be cast in Splendor in the Grass, I see, but missed out to Warren Beatty.
Right. And that's the reason my brother walked out on his contract with Warner Brothers, is they had him in one sudsy movie after another, and he didn't want to do any TV. They forced him into that. And Jack Warner himself had promised Troy the part, the lead part in Splendor in the Grass, opposite Natalie Wood. Well, Natalie Wood started dating Warren Beatty, and she wanted to do the film with him. And so my brother missed out on working with director Ilya Kazan, very wonderful director who would have taught Troy a lot. And Troy was so furious with Jack Warner that he walked off Warner Brothers' lot and never went back.
But I understand that Warner Brothers actually put him in a TV series, which really catapulted him in the minds of Americans. He was in Surfside 6, which was one of several spinoffs of 77 Sunset Strip. And then he was also, another one was Hawaiian Eye. And that's where he, isn't that true, where he really became the big star in America?
Right. He was not on the show very often, but his theme was on the show. They showed him during the credits. But he was uncooperative about doing TV. He was forced into it, and he would show up very sporadically, and it was not a good thing.
And then one more tidbit about him, because we got to move on, is that in 1974, Francis Ford Coppola cast him. He had a small part in The Godfather Part II as the fiancé of Connie Corleone.
Correct. And a fun fact about that is my brother had gone to New York Military Academy with Francis Ford Coppola. And so he had given Francis a part in the senior play, even though he was a sophomore at the time. And so Francis did a turnabout and cast Troy as Merle Johnson in Godfather 2.
He was married a few times, and I suppose the most famous person was Suzanne Pleshette, who was an actress, not married that long, were they?
No, they dated for 2 years, and I think they were married for 4 months.
And some will remember her from Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds and and in paired other TV roles. She actually died in 2004, and she was 70. So about Troy then, how old was he when he died?
He was 65.
65 years old, yeah.
He was in really good shape. He was on his way back from the gym when the heart attack hit him, and he just stumbled inside and asked his fiancée to call the 911, and they were there within 3 minutes and got him to the hospital. But it was such a strong heart attack that they just really couldn't save him.
Yeah. What a shock it had to be then for somebody who was in such great shape. Did you and Troy remain? So I know you were 9 years apart, but did he pay attention to you and family, or how did you remain close?
Troy was the world's best brother, and when we were kids, all his friends had dogs. Well, he had me, so I would trail along with the dogs. And I was very welcomed by his friends. I must say, I really appreciate that now that I'm older. They let me tag along, and when we all played football, they were very kind to me and didn't tackle me, but let me score some touchdowns. And Troy taught me how to swim and sail, and he was a wonderful, wonderful brother. He'd call me all the time and say, let's go to the beach, or you want to come to the studio today? And, you know, he'd pick me up at 7 in the morning, and we'd go off to an adventure.
Wow, that's great to hear, Eve. It's nice to know that about him.